Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of MetroSite. I'm Beth Schultz, Metrogy's Vice President of Research and Principal Analyst, and joining me today is Erwin Lazar. Erwin is President and Principal Analyst, and we're excited to talk about one of our latest research studies, Workplace Collaboration 2023-24. So, Erwin, start us out by telling us a little bit about the study.
Sure, and thank you for having me, Beth. I'm really excited to chat about this because it's a study we put out on an annual basis. We've been working on this now for several months. We finally got this published in early February. So this is an annual study that we do of the buyer side folks, so people responsible for procuring communication and collaboration applications, operating them, sometimes both, sometimes one or the other. We had 440 companies that participated in this study. We gather our data through a combination of survey and live interview. So we actually got to speak to a number of people and get a little bit of the story behind the story. The data gathering was conducted in December based on input from our clients previous to that. And as I mentioned, we published the study the first week of February to our clients. And again, really excited to finally have it. As you know, we put a lot of work into these, and it's always fun to finally say it's ready and we can share it with the world.
Yeah, big relief off your shoulders, right, Erwin?
Definitely.
Okay, so workplace collaboration, there's a lot of things that sort of entails. What technologies did you cover in the study?
Sure. Our overall goal was to understand how are companies approaching employee engagement in the age of hybrid work. So what's happening from a work pattern? Where are people working? Are they staying home? Are they coming back into the office? How is the office evolving? Is it being rebranded or reconfigured more for meetings versus individual work? And then what are the tools and technologies that people are investing in to support, again, communication and collaboration for hybrid employees? So we looked at calling and meetings. We looked at workplace collaboration management. We looked at the use of team collaboration. We looked at how our companies focusing on securing these applications. And then we also kind of looked at, some of the questions around the emerging areas, things like metaverse and virtual and augmented reality. So we wanted to see our companies thinking about those as part of their communication and collaboration strategy. We looked at technologies, social collaboration technologies that people can use to foster employee engagement and in more of an informal way to help build culture for people who may not see one another regularly.
Great. So what are some of the key takeaways?
Yeah, so in this study, so the overall study is about 152 slides, I think is the last count. We got about 5 pages of key takeaways. So I'll go through some of the ones that jumped out to me. But the first was that we saw that people are unifying their communication collaboration planning. More than half of companies now have a single leader, a single team responsible for all aspects of employee engagements. That includes real-time collaboration as well as non-real-time. So things like document knowledge management and asynchronous type collaboration applications. If you go back a few years ago, companies tended to have different towers or silos. You had an AV team that worried about video and a voice team that worried about voice and someone else that was worried about email and someone else that was worried about document. We've seen those are converging. We also see convergence is extending to unified communications and contact center. We found about 74% of participants that had either already converged those platforms or were planning on doing so. So we see a lot of push in the vendor space to deliver a single unified platform that allows you to break down the barriers between employee communications and customer communications and be able to better engage and better support both customers as well as sales opportunities. So there's a couple of the big ones. A few of the others that we saw, we asked people, what do you start with when you think about collaboration? What do you consider to be that core application? And historically, it had been voice. If you were planning a collaboration strategy for your organization, you would have picked a phone system and gone from there, or maybe picked an email application, an office suite, and gone from there. We found this time around it was meetings and team collaboration were what people most focused on. So I need to have a solid meeting application. I need to have a solid team messaging, team chat type application, and I build off of those. We found that the biggest challenge that people face in this new age of hybrid work is employee culture and employee engagement. It wasn't necessarily performance related issues, bandwidth like we saw early in the pandemic, certainly still issues for a lot of people, but it was how do I build those bonds and make people feel like they're part of a team, even when they may not see each other at all, or on a limited basis. We saw a lot of growth in video. Video continues to be a critical technology, both streaming as well as video conferencing. Majority of people now say that video is a technology that we can't tolerate downtime on. A lot of investment in video endpoints, both personal and as well as in the office. Room system growth, we saw a strong push around that. We saw a lot of interest in the use of touchscreens in meeting rooms. As a means of allowing people who are working at home and people who are in a meeting room to ideate together and to be able to share content together. And then lastly, we saw benefits still through the use of proactive management, the use of third-party administrative performance tools. We saw benefits from the use of third-party security tools, and we find still, unfortunately, not a lot of companies are proactive in their collaboration security, something that we really urge you to focus a little bit more. And I'd say the last area, you know, we've constantly looked at Microsoft Teams over the last few years, and we continue to see a large adoption of Teams as a messaging app, Teams as a meeting app. We're continuing to see now growth of Teams as a phone app, mostly with direct routing still as the preferred way of connecting the PSTN, but also interest now in some of the mobile services, both on the Teams side as well as from competitors that allow you to turn your mobile phone into a true voice extension.
Well, that's a lot of takeaways, and I know you just scratched the surface, right? What about success? What can you tell us about the success group and kind of the characteristics of that success, successful companies?
Yeah, so for anyone who has looked at our research over the years, one of our core differentiators is we try and share with you what are successful companies doing differently from those that are unsuccessful. And in this study, we define success as companies who had above average return on investment in terms of cost savings or revenue increase associated with their investments in collaboration technology, or they measured above average gains in productivity. We identified 66 of the 440 companies that qualified as our success group, and we looked at what are they doing differently from the rest of the pool. So where are they approaching things different, making different technology investments, and so on. And we found that they're more likely to have that unified management of collaboration I talked about earlier, meaning a single owner or team responsible for all aspects of collaboration, more likely to integrate contact center, more flexibility with where people can work. They were less likely to mandate that people come back to the office. They used video at a higher clip. They used management tools, third-party management tools, especially for administration, performance, and security. They're more likely to deploy social applications that help people form, you know, some of those bonds we talked about earlier. They're more likely to embrace the cloud, especially on the calling side. They're more likely to use their team applications and see team applications as a hub that they bring all of their data and other applications into, so that if I'm, you know, a Slack, Microsoft Teams, WebEx, Zoom Chat, RingCentral, et cetera, I'm living in that chat interface and I'm accessing my data and my projects and tasks and so on within that. And then lastly, they had a little more interest in augmented reality and virtual reality in the metaverse than the non-success group.
Interesting on that AR and VR in the metaverse. What's happening there?
Yeah, so it's, you know, we didn't go really deep into it. We just wanted to understand if it was on the radar of the people we talked to. And, it's one of those things where there are some really interesting use cases. It's not a technology for the masses yet. So we're not seeing any kind of wholesale interest in, you know what, I would much rather have my Monday morning catch-up call with my team as an avatar in a metaverse world. Versus, you know, on a video call. I don't think we're anywhere near that yet. But we found about 9% that had already adopted AR/VR technologies, another 19% that planned to do so, and significantly higher among our success group. And, you know, they told us about a fair number of interesting use cases. Training is a big one. You know, if I want to train people remotely, especially technical training, I can do that much more effectively in a virtual reality world than I can, you know, maybe through PowerPoint shared on a video call. If I want to do product demos or engineering exercises where we want to look at something, say, in a 3D model, you know, again, something I can do much more effectively in wearing a virtual reality headset than I could on a 2D video call. But, you know, I still think that we're at the early days that people are finding use cases, just not a mass market technology at this point.
Fair enough. So what did you find surprising in the study results?
So I think for me, the biggest was the amount of the percent of companies, the amount of companies that told us they're bringing people back. You know, this has been a holy war now in the media for the last 6 months to a year. There have been pronouncements that remote work doesn't work. There have been a lot of people saying it does. I know in our organization, we've been remote, you know, since day one, and I think it works pretty well. But we found that about 25% of our participants were bringing people back full time, and about another 27% that were requiring people to come back at least part time. So there is a demonstrable shift back to the office. 35 or so percent that say, you know what, we'll leave it up to employees. They have that option if they want to come in. It was only about 7% who said, you know what, just stay home. We don't want you back. We're not going to have an office anymore. So I think right now we're seeing that momentum behind bringing people back at least part-time, if not full-time. And I think a lot of that is due to that desire to have some of those ability to form those interpersonal relationships, mentor relationships, and so on, that you do lose quite a bit if people are constantly working from home.
Yeah, that culture issue, as you pointed out earlier, right? What about the economy? Did you uncover any data on how the global economy is impacting UCNC plans?
Yeah, so we published a number of studies last year that looked at overall UC spending, which we found growing at about 6% a year. A lot of interest in video and virtual whiteboard type applications, less so in some of the core applications. And we published another economic study that looked at a different subset of the market and found about 20% that were increasing their overall spend in communication and collaboration. In this study, we went in with a hypothesis thinking that people are going to look to consolidate applications. You know, maybe you've got two or three meeting apps and one, a couple of voice platforms and, you know, even a couple of team applications. And we thought, given the environment, the companies would look to consolidate those. We did find some interest. So, for example, today, 38% of participants use, but I should say support more than one meeting application. I mean, they buy licenses, they offer IT support. Out of that, about a quarter said that they were consolidating. So we saw similar in the voice space. We saw, I think it was about 25-30% of companies have more than one voice platform, and many of those are looking at consolidating. So it's not an overall everyone is going down to a single app, but there are pockets of consolidation. There are also, you know, in the 50 or so percent of people who only pay for one video app, about 20% who said, you know, we're going to support more than one because our employees need it to communicate with partners or suppliers or customers. And so we don't want to force everyone onto our app. We want to provide a little bit of flexibility.
Okay. What about trends around video? How are companies ensuring equal video experiences, regardless of location?
So the last study we published, which was fall of 2021, we saw a lot of a growing backlash of video. We saw that, you know, video fatigue was growing. We saw the companies were starting to say, you know, hey, people are burnt out on video. This year, I expected to see maybe a little bit of a continuation of that trend, but it really didn't. In fact, the other way around, we saw that 19%, which was a high for us, that use video for every meeting, meaning that there's always video. It's an expectation that you'll have your camera turned on. About 61% that use it for most and are more comfortable with saying, you know, it doesn't always have to be a video meeting. 63% that said video utilization was increasing. Only 18% said that they were having issues with video fatigue. I think some companies have already implemented approaches to mitigate that. So areas related or examples related to meeting free days, shortening the number of meetings, ensuring there's buffers between meetings, encouraging people to block focused work time. You know, those are all some of the techniques we saw implemented over the last, say, 2 years now to address some of those meeting fatigue concerns. So I think people are getting better at using video, more comfortable with it. The quality continues to improve as people invest in higher quality personal and in-room endpoints as well. And I should add, you know, we also saw, I mentioned a big growth in room-based video conferencing deployment. So companies getting up to about 75% of rooms that now have video, and a lot of interest in one-touch join type systems. So Cisco WebEx Room, Microsoft Teams Room, Zoom Room, Google Meet Room, et cetera, where you just walk in and there's a tablet, you press a button and you join the meeting, and all the equipment is configured already for that particular meeting provider. So we see success correlating with the use of those applications as well, especially as those rooms are now increasingly supporting competing meeting platforms.
Okay. So that was a lot of information. Arwin, tell us how people can see the full study results.
Sure. It is posted on our website at www.metrogy.com or just metrogy.com. For clients, if you log in, you'll have access to it under our customer engagement research study section. If you're not a client, you're just interested in purchasing the deck without any, you know, color commentary, back end support, ability to do cuts, and all the other benefits we offer to clients, it is available for individual purchase as well. Yeah, we conducted already a webinar on the success characteristics. So I looked at the 12 key correlations for what successful companies were doing differently than unsuccessful ones. That's available on our Bright Talk channel, or you can access it through metrogy.com. We have a webinar on February 28th, which is focused on security and what do we recommend the companies think about from a security standpoint. And then we're planning on one in April, on April 18th, focused on Microsoft Teams calling. And you'll continue to see additional written reports, presentations that we do at conferences and so on, continuing to share this data. And for our clients, if you're a client listening to us, love to get you on the phone and give you a deeper dive into the data. So please contact our client services team and they'll get that scheduled.
Okay. And folks can go to that website, our website, as you said, www.metrogy.com, and they can click on the contact us button on the right side of the page and they can find us. We're always happy to hear from folks, so do feel free to reach out to us. And that's all for now. On behalf of the Metrogy team, goodbye till next time, and take care, everybody.
Thank you.